his bed of mystic slumber, generated the seminal symbol, golden in hue, through external energy out of his desire to manifest varieties of living entities from himself alone. Please repeat after me. The Lord, while lying on his bed of mystic slumber, generated the seminal symbol, golden in hue, through external energy, out of his desire to manifest varieties of living entities from himself alone. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhagavad Gita 9, 7 and 8, the creation and annihilation of the material world are stated as follows. Sarva bhutani kaunteya prakritin janti mamikam kalpakshaye punarstani kalpado visrijyam maham prakritin swam avastibho visrijami punah punah bhuta gramam imam kritsnam avasham prakritar prakriter vashat. At the end of each millennium, the creative forces, namely the material nature and the living entities who struggle in the material nature, all merge together into the transcendental body of the Lord. And again, when the Lord desires to manifest them, all of them are again displayed by the Lord. Therefore, the material nature is working under the control of the Lord. All of them under the agency of material nature and under the control of the Lord are thus repeatedly created and annihilated by the will of the Lord. As such, before the creation or manifestation of the material cosmic world, the Lord exists as total energy, Maha Samashti, and thus desiring himself to be diffused to many, he expands himself further into multi-total energy, Samashti. From the multi-total energy, he further expands himself into individuals in the dimensions, individuals in three dimensions, namely adhyatmik, adhidaivik, and adhibhautik, as explained before, vyashti. As such, the whole creation and the creative energies are non-different and different simultaneously. Because everything is an emanation from him, the Mahavishnu or Mahashamashti, nothing of the cosmic energies is different from him. But all such expanded energies have specific functions and display as designed by the Lord. And therefore, they are simultaneously different from the Lord. The living entities are also similar energy, marginal potency of the Lord, and thus, they are simultaneously one with and different from him. At the stage of non-manifestation, the living energies remain potent in the Lord, and when they are let loose in the cosmic manifestation, they are exhibited differently in terms of different desires under the modes of nature. Such differential manifestation of the living energies are conditional states of the living entities. The liberated living entities, however, in the Sanatana manifestation are unconditionally surrendered souls, and therefore they are not subject to the conditions of creation and annihilation. So this creation takes place by the glance of the Lord from his bedstead of mystic slumber, and thus all the universes and the Lord of the universe, Brahma, are again and again manifested and annihilated. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militang Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishthang Sthapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Aham Shri Guru Shri Jutapadukamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंध दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे एको नानत्वम अन्विच्छन् जोगतल्पात् समुत्थितः वीर्यं हिरण्मयं देव मायया व्यसृजत्रिधा. The Lord, while lying on his bed of mystic slumber, generated the seminal symbol golden in hue through external energy out of his desire to manifest varieties of living entities from himself alone. So this chapter is describing different aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam, starting from the creation of the universe. So here we are seeing how the universes are created and sub-created and sub-sub-created. Creation actually takes place in different stages. The original creation was Mahavishnu was lying in the causal ocean, and as he was breathing, from his breath, the bubbles that are created, each bubble is actually an universe. This is how great Mahavishnu is. He is lying in the causal ocean. There is an ocean of cause, just as there is ocean of water. We are familiar with the salt water ocean. Similarly, there is a ocean of air. We are actually living in an ocean of air. It's all around, there is air. Goes miles above the surface of the earth. And we are actually living in that ocean of air, isn't it? Is it difficult to understand that we are living in an ocean of air? So similarly, there are different types of oceans. There is also, according to the Vedic understanding, there is also an ocean of sugar water. This ocean is salt water. There is an ocean of sugar water. The ocean that we know is all full of salt. But there is an ocean of sugar water. There is also an ocean of alcohol. An ocean of alcohol. The alcoholics would love it. There is an ocean of ghee, clarified butter. So similarly, beyond this material nature, or the total material nature is actually dwelling in an ocean of cause. Can you imagine? There is a substance called cause, and there is an ocean of cause. And Krishna expands himself as Mahavishnu or Karanadukshai Vishnu, and he lies on that ocean of cause. And in that ocean of cause, he breathes. Mahavishnu breathes. Not only through his nose and mouth, Mahavishnu breathes from every single pore, from the pores of his body. And when you breathe, did you ever, I'm sure you must have noticed it, when you breathe underwater, then what happens? The bubbles are created. And similarly, when Mahavishnu breathes, innumerable bubbles are created. And each bubble is an universe. Some bubbles are tiny, according to his conception, according to his perception, and some bubbles are huge. A small bubble is a small universe, like ours, which is dominated by a four-headed Brahma. The greater the universe, more is the number of the heads of Brahma. So this universe has a Brahma with four heads. There are other universes where Brahma has 16 heads. Some other universes have 64 heads. Some other universes has hundreds of heads. Brahma has hundreds of heads. Some other has thousands of heads. Some other universes, in some other universes, Brahma has millions of heads. So you can well imagine how big is this universe, are these universes. And we are, according to us, this universe is practically endless. But this universe is a small universe. This universe is a Brahma with only four heads. And Krishna, when he lies down in the causal ocean as Mahavishnu, he actually produces innumerable universes. Because from the pores of his body, the universes are created. So are the pores of Mahavishnu's body limited? Can anybody limit the pores, the number of Mahavishnu's body's pores? No. So Mahavishnu is unlimited. So the pores of his body also is unlimited. Therefore there are innumerable or unlimited universes. Not only the spiritual sky is unlimited, even the material world, material creation is also unlimited. So this is how inconceivable Krishna's nature is. So all these informations are there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now here it has been described that, so gradually how does the universe, the creation of that universe take place? So Mahavishnu lies on the causal ocean, and as he breathes, innumerable universes are created. And then he enters into each universe. Basically, initially the universes are hollow, like a bubble. Does the bubble have something inside? No. The bubbles are hollow. So Mahavishnu enters inside a bubble as Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Krishna as Vishnu expands himself as Garbhodakshay Vishnu and enters into each universe. And then he generates water from his body called Swedavari or sweat water. Sweat, because the water is coming from his body, is called Sveda. Sveda, in Sanskrit it is Sveda, in English it is sweat. Do you see the resemblance? That's where you can see all the languages actually came from Sanskrit. English also came from Sanskrit. So Sveda body, the sweat water. So he fills half of the universe with the sweat from his body, and then he lies on that water. And then from his navel sprouts one lotus. From the navel comes out a lotus. And Brahma is situated on that lotus. And Brahma is the Lord of the universe. He creates, he sub-creates the universe. He fills the universe with different living entities. Now here you can see that the Lord was lying in a mystic slumber. Mystic slumber means yoga nidra. And Lord does, Krishna doesn't need to, or Vishnu doesn't need to sleep. We need to sleep. The living entities in the material nature needs to sleep. But one in the spiritual nature doesn't actually need to sleep. In the material nature, we need to sleep because of the influence of the modes. What is our material existence is like? Material existence is like carrying a big lump of matter called body. Our bodies are actually a burden that the spirit soul is carrying. How big is the spirit soul? 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. Now that poor little spirit soul have to carry a big hulk of mass, 60 kilos, 70 kilos, some bodies are even hundreds of kilos. Now it's a big burden for a living entity to carry. Now when you carry a big burden, big weight, now what happens? After a while you become tired. You can't really carry it anymore. So the spirit soul carries the body, and then at some point the spirit soul says, look, I can't carry it anymore. So he just dumps the weight. When he dumps it, then he falls asleep. Sleep means the spirit soul refuses to carry the burden of the body anymore. That's why everybody loves to sleep. Because it's a freedom from the bondage, the burden. We dump this burden. But unfortunately, due to his attachment to matter, due to his attachment to this material body, after a while he rejuvenates himself and then he picks up the burden again. And that is what is called Maya, the illusion. It is not good for him to carry this burden. He doesn't like to carry this burden. But he thinks that it is wonderful. So in this way, the living entity is carrying the burden of the body. So when he can't carry the burden anymore, then he falls asleep. And it actually happens due to his intense involvement in the material nature. This involvement in the material nature is caused by the mode of passion. Due to the mode of passion, he wants to become involved in this material nature. Due to mode of passion, he wants to enjoy this material nature. And he works very hard. Due to the mode of passion, he wants to enjoy. Now the enjoyment in this material nature doesn't come easily. So one has to struggle. One has to work very hard. So this working hard takes place in the mode of passion. Like in the morning he wakes up and the whole day he works like a donkey. And then he becomes tired. In the mode of passion, he works hard and then he becomes exhausted and then he enters into mode of ignorance and falls asleep. So mode of passion, he comes to ignorance. Then in the morning again he wakes up. He comes out of the mode of ignorance, but he enters into the mode of passion and works again. Very hard to fall asleep at night in the mode of ignorance. This is how a living entity is constantly rotating between passion and ignorance, ignorance to passion, passion to ignorance. This is how his life is going on. Therefore, an intelligent person, he stops that influence of the mode of passion and he comes into the mode of goodness. When one comes to a mode of goodness, then he doesn't really need so much sleep. Like anybody who has experience working with cows must have noticed that the cows don't really sleep. Because they're in the mode of goodness, they don't actually sleep. Even through the whole night, they just keep on chewing and digesting. So more one is involved in the mode of passion, the more one is influenced by the mode of ignorance. Or more active one is in the material nature, the more he needs to sleep. So even we can see that in the material nature, even the mode of goodness does not really require sleep. Like for example, Arjuna is known as Gurakesha. What is the meaning of the word Gurakesha? Gurak Isha, the conqueror of sleep. So how did Arjuna conquer sleep? It's a simple common sense, because Arjuna actually was situated in the mode of goodness. Therefore, Arjuna didn't need to sleep. Arjuna was not only in mode of goodness, he was in transcendental goodness. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he didn't need to sleep. So if living entities don't need sleep, then why will the Supreme Personality of Godhead need to sleep? Therefore, when the Lord sleeps, that sleep is transcendental sleep, yoga nidra. Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean and he is sleeping. But that sleep is not in the ignorance, but it is his mystic sleep. And in his sleep, Mahavishnu is dreaming. And that dream is actually this material nature, the creation. And when a living entity becomes tuned up to Mahavishnu's sleep, then he gets to know the absolute truth. Meditation, in a meditation there is a stage called samadhi. That stage of samadhi is actually to become tuned up to Mahavishnu's slumber, Mahavishnu's state of dream. He is sleeping in yoga nidra and he is having a transcendental dream. And that transcendental dream is the material reality. Therefore, according to our understanding, material nature is not false, is not a lie, is not untruth. Material nature also is reality. It's a relative reality. But the spiritual world is absolute reality. So here it has been described that Lord, while lying on his bed of mystic slumber, generated the seminal symbol, golden in hue, through external energy out of his desire to manifest varieties of living entities from himself alone. So then the living entities actually come out from the body of the Lord. Sometimes this has been described as the glands of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu glances towards the material nature, and through his glance the living entities come into the material nature. From that inactive state, the living entities become active, and they activate the material nature as well. Tashang brahma mahajyonir ahang vija pradapita. In this vast of this material nature, Krishna says that he is the seed-giving father. So the living entities from the unmanifest stage, when they come into the material nature, they become manifest. They come in contact with the material nature and they think, oh, what a wonderful place for enjoyment. And he wants to exploit this material nature. And as a result of that, he gets the first covering of ahankar, false ego. Then he gets the second covering of subtle matter called intelligence. Then he gets the third covering, the mind, through which his consciousness flows constantly towards the external nature. Then the nature awards him with a gross material body made of earth, water, fire, air and ether. And in this way the living entity gets trapped in the material nature. And that has been compared, this body that a living entity gets trapped into is considered to be a machine, like a vehicle, a spaceship. Through this body, the living entities are traveling in different planetary systems in the material nature. Sometimes, due to his pious activities, he is elevated to the higher planetary systems, where he gets a body that offers him a lot of enjoyment. Then sometimes he gets a body in a lower planetary system where he suffers. Actually both upper and lower, both the planetary systems are actually miserable. And from the relative perspective, both are actually, both the places, upper and lower planetary systems, both are place of enjoyment. It is not that the lower planetary systems are place of suffering relatively. Actually, the lower planetary systems have been compared to subterranean heavenly planets. Vila Sarga. Vila Sarga. Swarga. Sarga means heavenly planets. And Vila, Vila is a hole. That area is like a hole. And just as in the hole, the sunlight does not enter, that is the area where sun's rays do not enter. There is no light there. The upper planetary system, the seven upper planetary systems, are lit up by the rays of sun. We are in the Bhur Loka. Then above that is Bhuvar Loka. Then Swarloka, Swargaloka, then Maharloka, then Janaloka, then Tapaloka, then Sattaloka. These are the seven higher planetary systems. And all these seven higher planetary systems are lit up by the sun. We see that in our planet, we have sun for 12 hours and then the sun disappears for 12 hours, and that's the night. In the Swargaloka, in the heavenly planets, the sun stays for 6 months, and for other 6 months the sun is missing. So in this way, the higher we go, the duration of the sun's presence become longer and longer. But in the lower planetary systems, the sun rays don't enter. That's a region where it's in total darkness. But that darkness is dispelled with the light of the jewels from the serpents' heads. In the lower planetary systems, there are serpents. Huge serpents with huge gems on their head. and the light from the gems actually light up the place. So that way we can see that they don't actually have any concept of time. The other day, one of my god brothers, Ravindeswar Prabhu, was telling me that in America, in Las Vegas, there are some nightclubs and nightclubs and places like that, where they have artificial light. Once you enter there, whether it's day or night, it's all lit up artificially, so that when you enter there, you do not know what is the time, whether it is day or night. So we are seeing that this materialistic civilization is actually creating that subterranean heavenly planets, where they don't depend on the sun. They're artificially using the they're using artificial light in order to avoid the concept of time. And actually, in the lower planetary systems, the time actually doesn't exist, because the time is relative to the sun's movement. So there is no sun, so they don't have any concept of time. And also, an interesting thing to note is also that the materialistic world also is creating an atmosphere like that. In the subterranean planets, they have the snakes with the jewels on their head, and there is light emanating from the jewel. Now look what happened in this material niche, in our earth planet now. They have cables, right? And on top of the cables, they have the bulbs, right? Now the cables are like the snakes, and they have the jewel, the bulb on top, that gives out the light. We are actually, this modern materialistic civilization is actually imitating the subterranean heavenly planets. But when we make a spiritual movement, then it will actually create a proper heavenly planets, the atmosphere of heavenly planets on this earth. In the heavenly planets, the difference between heavenly planets and subterranean heavenly planets is that in heavenly planets, they are all devotees of Krishna. They are dependent upon Krishna's law, and they act according to Krishna's arrangements. Whereas in the subterranean heavenly planets, they make artificial arrangements. Krishna has actually given the light, sun. But we are seeing that the materialistic people don't want to accept the light of the sun. They rather prefer to sleep during the day and remain awake at night. Isn't that what's happening in the materialistic world today? People would stay up the whole night, spend their time in nightclubs and casinos and do all kinds of nonsense, and then sleep during the whole day. Then wake up in the evening to go to the nightclub again. So they lead a life completely opposed to Krishna's arrangements. But a person who leads a decent, pious life, what does he do? He actually wakes up early in the morning, even before the sun rises. Like in our movement, everybody gets up before 4 o'clock, long before the sun rises. And then he goes to sleep as the sun sets. And that's such a healthy way to live. So, the divine nature follows Krishna's law, Krishna's arrangements. But the demoniac nature opposes Krishna's law and Krishna's arrangements. Now, when somebody goes against Krishna's nature, then what happens? He suffers. Apparently, this material nature made such a beautiful arrangement. But what is the ultimate outcome? they thought that they would make life so much easier, so much simpler, so they made so many wonderful arrangements, like countries like Switzerland and other countries of Europe. But one interesting thing we note is that more advanced they are materially, higher is their suicide rate, higher is their divorce rate, higher is the lunacy rate. They made such beautiful arrangements, but people are becoming mad. They made such beautiful arrangements, but husband and wife are breaking off. The marriages are breaking off. Children are leaving the parents and going away. Parents also don't care about their children. And ultimately, they're just killing themselves. And they even developed a philosophy that ultimate goal of life is to commit suicide. Who is that? Who came up with? Sartre. Jean-Paul Sartre. His philosophy is the goal of life, the ultimate perfection of life is to commit suicide. Now another madman. So this is what happens when one goes against the law of nature, Krishna's nature. But when one leads his life according to Krishna's arrangement, then he becomes happy. We see in Krishna's arrangement everything is there. We don't have to worry about anything. Krishna has given plenty of food to eat, plenty of water to drink, and plenty of air to breathe, clean air to breathe. Now, most valuable thing is actually air, oxygen. And Krishna supplied it in abundance. Actually, Krishna supplies everything in abundance. Only man creates scarcity. Like we can see, the air, we are human beings or living entities are taking, the animals and birds and human beings, they are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. Now, if the process went on like that, continuously, then someday there wouldn't have been any air in the atmosphere, any oxygen in the atmosphere, and the air would have been filled with, atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. But no, Krishna made such a beautiful arrangement that human beings are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide, and trees and plants are taking carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. Such a wonderful balance. There'll never be scarcity. But man came and in the name of advancement, he started to invent started to produce machines. And to produce machine, what he's doing? He's cutting all the trees. And he's using the fuel to run the machines that are giving out carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide. So this is how we can see how, from this very simple example, how man is tampering, as it tampers Krishna's nature, creates all the problems. In Krishna's nature, there is no scarcity. There's plenty to eat. Like not only in the tropical warm countries, I've seen even in Europe where it is very cold, like during the summertime and autumn, there's so much fruits everywhere. So no one actually has to go hungry. There's plenty of fruits to eat. Fruits and nuts. What to speak of countries like India? Countries like India is so wonderful. Like there, there's plenty of fruits and throughout the year, and one can sleep out under the sky, under a tree. You don't need a big house with all kinds of central heating and other arrangements to keep the place warm. And actually Krishna's creation was always like that. Beautiful, comfortable place. There was eternal spring everywhere. There was spring, and there was no winter, and no excessive summer. There was no desert. The whole creation in the beginning, or rather before Kali Yuga, I must say, was like that. Was like a springtime. And at night it used to rain, and during the day it used to be dry. The bright sun shines throughout the day. And there was plenty of food stuff everywhere. But as man became sinful, the earth also started to withdraw the gift. And as the places where people became very sinful, those places became desert. There are two types of desert: a desert of sand, a hot desert, and cold desert. Desert which is filled with sand, and cold deserts that are filled with ice. So these deserts are actually places for punishment. But when a man leads a simple, pious life, then he won't have any scarcity. Krishna will supply, Krishna will provide. Krishna's nature will provide with everything that one needs. And Krishna consciousness movement is actually creating that atmosphere. This Hare Krishna movement, as it spreads, people will learn to give up their sinful lives and take to spiritual life. And that pious atmosphere will generate such a wonderful, abundant environment that people will become happy. We notice in Krishna consciousness, everyone is happy. Although apparently devotees don't have anything. In the material platform, people think that unless you have so many things, you can't be happy. Unless you have a lot of money, unless you have a big house, unless you have a beautiful wife, unless you have a big car, your life is useless. But we are seeing that in spite of having all these things, they are not actually happy, they are becoming even more miserable. Whereas the devotee is a brahmachari, what does he have? Just two sets of clothes and a gamcha and two pairs of kaupin. And he has the brahmachari ashram, a sleeping bag there to crash out at night. And he is happy. One of my godbrothers, Badri Narayan Prabhu, was telling me the other day in the sense a couple of years ago, that they was taking a statistics of what people do and what they possess, etc. So one lady came to interview. So she was interviewing one brahmachari from San Diego temple. So she asked whether he had a job. He said no. Asked, do you have a business? No. Do you have a bank account? No. Do you have a car? No. Do you have a house? No. Do you have a wife? No. Do you have a girlfriend? No. Then she couldn't take it anymore. She screamed, then why are you so happy? So that is what they have to learn. They have to learn happiness is not relative to possession. The happiness is actually a matter of depending upon the right person. Devotees are happy because they're depending upon Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotee's happiness is like becoming the son of a millionaire. A millionaire's son doesn't have to possess anything or don't have to worry about anything. He knows that his father is going to give him everything that he needs, and his father does give. He may not have a bank account, he may not have a job, he may not have a business, but he has everything. And that's the devotee. He's perfectly situated in at the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna takes care of him, and he has experience of that. And that's why we see, like, when in a gathering where we see the devotees are sitting and next to non-devotees, then we immediately see the difference. The devotee's face is so bright, so free from anxiety and so relaxed. Whereas the materialistic people, you know, their face is so tensed. No matter how handsome the person may be, but his face has such a painful look. They're suffering. And all that they're doing is actually leading them to suffering. Eating meat, causing them suffering. Taking intoxication, causing them suffering. Illicit sex, excessive sex life, causing them intense suffering. So this is how they all are suffering. But he comes out of that platform and situates himself on the platform of devotional service. Immediately he becomes joyful. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and all glories to his Krishna consciousness movement. Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question or comment?
Satchit Anand. Anand is the energy of Krishna, Haradhana Shakti, so Radharana. And another two, Sat and Chit, they take also a form.
Then Sat aspect is manifesting from Balaram. And Chit also, consciousness aspect also, is emanating from Krishna. Yes, Krishna Chandra?
Described when Mahavishnu is sleeping. He's trying to sleep, all the material universes are emanated. So I want to know what happens when we put our deities also to sleep. So what happens when the deity is sleeping?
Yeah. When the deities sleep, actually we put them to sleep, because you see, Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, very much like the pastimes of activities of a man on the earth. And in that pastimes, in Vrindavan, Krishna does take rest. In Dwarka, Krishna does take rest. In Vaikuntha also, Krishna does take rest. But what he does when he takes rest, that is a different thing altogether. Like for example, in Vrindavan, Krishna, Mother Jasoda puts Krishna to sleep. Then she goes to sleep. Then Krishna sneaks out of the house, goes to the forest, plays the flute, calls the gopis and dances through the night. So, that is how Krishna sleeps, right? And also, it is in the altar also it is said that sometimes, as soon as we close the door, Krishna Balaram, or Krishna Radharani and Krishna, they start to dance, or they start to enact their pastimes on the altar, away from our eyes. So Krishna is always performing his pastimes. But we put them to rest thinking that now is the time that Krishna needs to go to rest. he had a nice noontime offering. Now he must go to rest. So we are servants, we make the arrangements, the standard that has been set by Krishna himself in the spiritual sky, and you just follow that standard. Yes.
Sri Krishna gave the freedom to the human being to accept him or to refuse him.
Why Krishna gave living entities the freedom or independence to either accept him or reject him? Because Krishna wants the living entities to develop a loving relationship with him. He wants us to love him. Now, love cannot be forced. Love has to be voluntary. Right? So therefore, the Krishna left the option. Now, I want you to love me, but it's up to you to decide whether you love me or not. So that's why we have the independence. We have to decide whether we love Krishna. Ultimately, we have to love Krishna. Otherwise, we'll become miserable. Otherwise, we'll suffer. But do you want to suffer? You don't want to suffer. Now, what should you do? If you don't want to suffer, what should you do? Love Krishna. Yeah. And when you love Krishna, then you'll become joyful. So that independent decision you have to make. Nobody can force you. That's why you have the independence. That's why we all have the independence. Yes, Krishna Chandra.
I have so many times that what activities one has to do to go to heaven, heavenly planets. So what karma one has to do for going to Bilvasvana?
Bilasarga? Go against Krishna? Go against Krishna's nature, Krishna's arrangements? Become gross materialist? Right. Then after this life probably, one will go into the subterranean heavenly planets. There he'll get all kinds of facilities, but he'll suffer. The thing is that to go to the subterranean heavenly planets also, one has to be pious. Pious, but not Krishna conscious. It's doing pious activities but not accepting Krishna. Then he, like Hiranyakashipu, he was a pious person. You know, he went to the mountains, you know, performed so much austerities. Similarly, Shishupal, Dantavakra, you know, they did perform a lot of pious activities but did not accept Krishna. Therefore, their destiny was in that Vilasarga. There, that's the place where they are. Yes. Harinamananda Prabhu.
You spoke about the cows, that they are in a mode of goodness very much, but how can you comprehend this completely in regard to sleeping? I can understand, but then they give milk and they are very innocent, but then the rest seems the cow is not much brain at all.
You see, to be in the mode of goodness, you don't have to always have to have a lot of brains. And another thing is that, you see, after all, the cows are animals. A cow is an animal, but you know, as an animal, cow is situated in the mode of goodness. But of course, yes, when one becomes a human being and becomes situated in the mode of goodness, he does develop his intelligence a lot. Brahmanas are very intelligent because they have the right understanding. But this is in the animal kingdom, in the animal category, The cows are in the mode of goodness. Lions are in the mode of passion. Dogs are in the mode of ignorance. Pigs are in the mode of ignorance.
And another question is, you spoke about the burden for the soul, the gross material body. What about the subtle material body? Is there also a burden?
Yes, but a lighter burden. It depends, you know. Sometimes in the mind can be so heavy a burden, isn't it? When we see that some people are so depressed, right? Now, what does it mean? Some people suffer from depression. Their mind is so heavy that, you know, it's causing them depression. So yes, subtle body also can be a big burden. When someone is going through depression, when someone is going through mental agony, it's very painful. Sometimes the mental or subtle body's pain can be more acute than gross body's pain. One boy and girl, were in love with each other. Then they broke off. Then they suffered from so much pain that they can't take it anymore, so they kill themselves, right? So this is, you're seeing that the subtle body also, the mind also causes, can cause a lot of burden.
One more.
Yeah.
About sleep.
Yes.
Those in the, as you mentioned, those who are in the mode of goodness, they need a lot of sleep. Just little. So, what happens when somebody, although he may be engaged in critical consciousness, initiating all things, but somehow by his corrupted karma, he's not so much, so very much in the mode of goodness, still very influenced by the mode of ignorance and passion. And then what happens when he imitates a person who is in the mode of goodness regarding to sleep? If he artificially reduces his sleep to 6 hours or 5 hours or something like this, what will happen? Is there some danger?
Yeah, it is, you know, always better not to be artificial. You see, everybody has his nature. And Krishna consciousness is the process to transform one's nature from material to spiritual. Of course, in the Vaidhi Bhakti platform, there is some pressure. There, like when somebody becomes a new devotee, then he wants to sleep for 10 hours. But he is made to sleep for 6 hours. So that Vaidhi Bhakti platform, it is necessary. But at some point, one should actually get into a natural way of developing his Krishna consciousness. And if we follow the process, actually Krishna consciousness will automatically bring one to the mode of goodness. Because if one follows the process properly, in the beginning he may need to sleep for 10 hours or want to sleep for 10 hours, but if he practices the process properly, then he will, you know, come to the platform of, you know, sleeping for 6 hours or even 4 hours. As one makes spiritual advancement, sleep will reduce because he will become situated in the transcendental platform. And I have seen Srila Prabhupada hardly used to sleep for 1 or 2 hours. You know, although he was so sick, you know, apparently he was so sick, but he hardly slept. And he was continuously rendering service. Although he was bedridden, didn't eat anything for 2.5 months, but still he was translating. He didn't have the strength to turn to his side. We had to help him very carefully, turn him to side. Because sometimes it was uncomfortable to lie on your back, so he wanted to turn to the side. But still, he was translating. Some devotee would read the verse from Sanskrit verse from Bhagavatam, and some other devotee would hold the microphone in front of his mouth, and Prabhupada would just speak. And the 11th to 13th chapters are actually translated by Prabhupada, of the 11th to 13th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The translations and purports Prabhupada gave like that. Lying on his bed, somebody was holding the microphone in front of his mouth. So that is... By nature's arrangement, we have to give up this body someday. This body is not going to be there forever. And this body will become a burden, like, you know, when the time comes for us to leave the body. So when you become old, the body will become a burden. When you're young, the body, we can carry the body so easily. Right? One doesn't really feel the burden at all. But as we start to get old, then we realize what a big burden it is. And and a time will come when one will leave the burden and go away. But a pure devotee, until the time of his leaving his body, he would continue to render service. So it's a matter of, you know, accepting the process, following it, practicing it properly. And then we will become free from the bondage of matter. Passion and ignorance means bondage of matter. And goodness is the release from the bondage of matter. Hare Krishna. Yes?
In the verse of today, Shivida was talking about the golden symbol which the Lord is creating. Could you say something about this?
Yes. Golden symbol is the energy which has been compared to semen. You know, just as from the semen of the father, the child is born. So here, the Lord's energy came out in the form of a golden egg, you can say, Hiranmayena. And that was the living entities. At that stage, they were in a dormant stage. But then gradually, they became activated. It was a symbol, that's why Prabhupada used an expression, a symbol, a seminal symbol. It is not semen. The Lord doesn't have semen, you see, like that's a gross material concept. But it's all the living entities, the sum total of the living entities have been compared to semen.
There's no concept of time. So, is there age and growth?
Well, in the fifth canto, actually, there's a description that they don't really age. They're all very active. And they live also for a long time. And then all of a sudden they die. And so I think Sutala Loka, they procreate, and after procreating they die. And anyway, I mean that's the description. Yes.
In the Kadashi, like today, what is the special activities of the special day? What are the special specific activities of Krishna?
Specific activities of Krishna or ourselves?
what made the Ekadashi special, did Krishna make some special activities about his pastime?
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. So, Ekadasi means the 11th day of the lunar movement. The moon moves like it takes 14 days to become full, then it's a full moon, the 15th day. Then, from the 16th day, it starts to wane. And the moon starts to become small, and then it takes another 14 days. And then the 15th day is new moon, no moon. So now, these are called Shukla Paksha and Krishna Paksha. The waxing moon and the waning period of moon. So the 11th day is considered to be the Ekadasi. Actually, Krishna created that Ekadasi, a personality who is the mother of devotion. She is a very beautiful woman, Krishna's energy. The reason behind creating Ekadasi was Krishna, when he created this universe, Krishna created Paiti, or rather, according to the activities of people, pious activities and sinful activities, two different personalities were created. One is Punya and the other is Pap. The sinful activities gave rise to sin, personality of sin. Different sinful activities are the different limbs of that personality. Papa Purusha. And so as people consider committed sinful activities, they became subject to suffering. So those who are sinful, they were sent to the abode of Jamaraj, and there they were punished. Because Jamaraj is the judge. So one day Krishna went to Jamaraj's house, Jamaraj's abode, and there he heard that some people are crying in pain. So he asked Jamaraj, "What happened? Why these people are? Why do I hear this inhuman cry?" Then Jamaraj said, "Well, these are the sinful people who are being punished. And because of the pain that they're undergoing, they're crying." Then Krishna felt bad that he created these living entities and they are suffering. He is the father and his sons are suffering. So Krishna decided to make some arrangements to make them free from their sinful reactions. So Krishna created Ekadasi. Right there, that was the 11th day. So because he created her, this personality, she is known as Ekadasi. So, and Krishna made arrangements that anyone who would observe Ekadasi on the 11th day, then he will become free from all sinful reactions. So observing Ekadasi means not eating anything and not drinking anything. Staying up the whole night singing Krishna's glory. So people started to observe Ekadasi and they became free from all their sinful reactions. They would just observe Ekadasi and become free from their sinful reactions. So one day Krishna saw that Papa Purusha, the sin personified, he became completely emaciated. He could hardly move and he is staggering towards him. So Krishna asked, "Hey Pap, what happened?" So Papur said that, look, my Lord, you are my creator and you are my maintainer also. But ever since you created Ekadasi, people are just observing Ekadasi and they are becoming free from sinful reactions. And as a result of that, you can see my condition. I am dying. I am becoming extinct. So then Krishna said, okay, I'll make some arrangements. So then Krishna made arrangements that on that day, on the day of Ekadasi, all the sins will enter into the grains. And whoever will take grains will get all the sins. That's why it is advised that on Ekadasi one doesn't take grains. So that way he won't take the sinful reactions. Is that clear? Okay, Hare Krishna. Yes.
You said that when the Satya Yuga is present, then the atmosphere is like on the heavenly planets. What is now in Kali Yuga, Satya Yuga will appear, it will also be like on the heavenly planets.
Right. When it will happen. Do you get the questions? The translators? Do you get the questions? No. It is said that in Satya Yuga, the atmosphere is like heavenly planets. Now, in the middle of Kali Yuga, Satya Yuga will become established. So then, will the atmosphere become like heavenly planets? And when will that happen? Yes, it will happen. As Krishna consciousness movement spreads, Satya Yuga will become established. And the atmosphere will become like heavenly planets here. Not even like heavenly planets, it will become like Vaikuntha planet. And when will it happen? That will depend how soon we are going to spread Krishna consciousness. That's why we have to distribute books, that's why we have to spread, go out and preach, so that people take to Krishna consciousness. That's why you have to go out and chant the holy name. So as we chant the holy name, the atmosphere will become purified. As people read Prabhupada's books, they will become devotees, and thus the whole atmosphere will become Krishna conscious. And yes, then Satya Yuga will become established. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.